the expert that's brave enough to say the word deciduous. Talking Trees with John Eisenhower. Rosie on the house.
Speaking deciduous, we have a lot of those deciduous leaves on the ground right now. And wanted to encourage everybody. I was walking in my yard this morning and realized there's an accumulation of leaves everywhere. And I've got a bit of work that's been neglected. I'm just getting over a bad cold. And these last couple of weekends, I just didn't have the energy to be out working in the yard. But I would encourage you to take those leaves that have been falling off those deciduous trees, rake them into a pile, and start that composting process. People say, I don't have very much room. Well, you don't need a whole lot of room. You can just rake them up into a pile, push them up against the wall in the corner of the yard, or you can make yourself a little compost bin that can collect it and keep it from blowing around. But, man, take your kitchen scraps, the leaves, even the grass clippings, and begin to blend a little of the dry with a little bit of the green. That you need the carbon and the nitrogen combined together. Add a little bit of water, and magic happens. Compost is a tremendous asset to the yard. You can take that finished compost in about 60 to 90 days and actually put it back in around your flower beds, around the base of your trees and your shrubs, and encourage. It's just a tremendous soil amendment. Helps those moderate the soil temperature, encourages some nitrogen cycling. It improves the soil microbiology. It allows all the little critters that are inside our soil to have a better rooting environment. Our plants love it. And of course it reduces the evapotranspiration, which a lot of water loss comes right out of the soil surface. Well, if you've got a nice little 1 or 2 inch layer of composted mulch around the base of your trees, they love that, and they'll reward you with some beautiful fruit. Less watering required. Keep the dust down, keep the weeds under control. My goodness, the list goes on and on. It's the best thing since chicken soup is is composted mulch around the base of your plants. And I can't encourage you more. Now is your time to do that. Start a little compost pile, and you'll be happy you did.
Now, when we're applying the mulch to the tree, you've got to be careful not to bury any of the trunk.
Thank you. That's why I said a 1 or 2 inch layer of mulch is fine. 3 or 4 inches can be problematic. A little bit more of a good thing is not always better. You want to be sure that you allow that oxygen to get down to that soil surface as well. You don't want to create a condition where you're capping the oxygen from getting to the soil. Oxygen needs to get into our soil, as well as the soil needs to release carbon dioxide and methane gas. Through root metabolism, there's some gases that are being released that need to escape to the atmosphere. And that gas exchange is critical to plant survival. And unfortunately, people raise the grade level with either soil or with mulch, and thinking that they're doing a favor to their plants, they end up having all sorts of problems. Another problem related to that is the mulch can actually trap moisture and wick the moisture up against the trunk tissue. So you don't want that mulch to be piled up against the trunk of your plants. Keep that area right around the base of your plants high and dry. In fact, pull the mulch away from the trunk itself. Give yourself a ring of maybe a foot or so of diameter around all your plants, so there's no mulch within that radius. Keep the mulch out a little further from the plant. You can take it out as far as you want, 3 or 4 or 10 feet if you want, to provide that protection for that entire root zone.
That was my next question on how far out to go. You want at least the drip line, but if it's a younger tree you anticipate growing further, is there a benefit to constantly be 2, 3, 4 feet ahead of the drip line so that natural composting starts to happen and increase soil conditions for when the roots get to that
exactly
length?
Yeah, absolutely. Great point. And yeah, that it will be conditioning that soil through that process of breakdown of the materials. They'll be keeping that, improving the soil tilth and porosity so that there's going to be better water penetration. So as the roots get to that point, of course, they're going to have a much better rooting environment. Great point, Romy. Appreciate you mentioning that.
And that's the mulching trees weekly to-do. You can find in our home maintenance calendar, and this audio will be transcribed on that page a little bit later, along with the Rich Media Player for the podcast.
One last thing to mention about mulching, ask your neighbors to help you build your compost pile. If you don't have enough leaves to really make a significant pile, just mention it to a couple of your neighbors and have them start giving you their kitchen scraps and a few of their leaves. They might have that big old tree that they don't know what to do with the leaves. They're just throwing them away. Go over there and get a couple of bags full every now and then. You can kind of keep your own, be the community depository for all those raked leaves that others are throwing away.
You can get your free home maintenance calendar by going to rosieonthehouse.com on Homeowners Resources. Scroll over and you'll see the option third down calendar with directions on how to email with a link to email in your address, and we'll send you your own free Rosie on the House home maintenance calendar. It's part of our 30th anniversary with a layout of topics that we're covering all year long, along with weekly home and planting to-dos. We've got callers on the line. Let's get to them, and then we've got some texts and emails to follow up with that. I believe it's Gary next on the line, wants to know about a low-maintenance shade tree. Good morning, Gary, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Romy. Question for you and your guest. I'm redoing my backyard, so I get rid of some really messy trees. I think they're called Fafisia. They're in the oleander family.
Fafisia, yes.
And very messy, but give a lot of shade, but I just got rid of those along with the citrus, which was removed because of some roof rats in the area. And I was looking for some trees that could just take full sun, because it's southern exposure, give good shade, but not be that messy. A couple of things that I was looking at, if you can comment on maybe, is evergreen pear and Chinese pistache. I know they are deciduous, so there are times when they will lose their leaves, but just in general, could you comment on those and maybe anything else kind of in that family of foliage trees that might work?
Yeah, the evergreen pear is a smaller tree, probably maxes out at 15 to 20 feet in height, a little more compact than the Chinese pistache, which can be extremely large, you know, can be up to 40 feet in height at maturity. So you want to be sure that you understand, research the mature height of your trees to be sure that you're selecting one that's going to fit that spot. But both of those are nice trees. They're both deciduous, so they will lose their leaves and be bare in the winter. Two other trees that came to mind that will provide some nice shade for you and also take full sun are the Acacia annura, or a mulga tree. It's referred to as common name as a mulga. They're quite nice, and I think they're considered a low litter tree. And then the Texas live oak. I've just become a real fan of those trees because they're so durable. Bulletproof, don't have a lot of natural enemies, and they're again, both of those two trees, the Acacia annura or mulga, and then the Texas live oak, are evergreen trees. They'll keep their leaves all year long, and provide some nice shade. And they're relatively low litter and low maintenance, and for that reason, they get a 5-star review from me.
We appreciate the call. A couple text questions here for you, Mr. Eisenhower. We had somebody wanting to know where to get tool for to keep birds out of their fruit trees.
Where to find tools?
Tool, the cloth.
Oh. Gosh.
Is there another material you would recommend?
To keep the birds out of their citrus trees?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, and that's... No, I wish I could help out. I think they ought to contact their local nursery and see if they can find another source. But please, if you wouldn't mind, once you've made that determination, found a nice source for that, to circle back around and maybe drop me a line so that I can help some of our other tree owners that come to us for advice. I'm always looking for good sources for products that are helpful in keeping birds out. I've got a pigeon problem since our neighbors had a pigeon issue in a vacant home next door. And when the city came and fumigated the house, it drove the pigeons into our yard. And we've been in that house for 20 years. And so here, this last year, all of a sudden, I've got a plague of pigeons in our big old garage. So, yeah, birds can be problematic. Yeah, sometimes it's difficult to find humane solutions for trying to deal with them.
Yeah, there are pigeon specialists as well that I don't know if they'll have the solution he's looking for, but they've
A lot of citrus owners have problems with birds that are not just getting into the fruit, but they're actually pecking sapsuckers or pecking the bark and doing quite extensive damage. Where they'll come in and they'll tear bits of bark, and even some rock squirrels and other little rodents have been known to do quite extensive damage in some of our trees by peeling the bark back so they can eat some of the sweet nectar that comes out of those wounds. And a lot of times people are trying to keep those birds out of their citrus for that reason too.
Another texter wants to know, we were talking earlier about the Aleppo pine, and want to know how does that pathogen get introduced to a new area?
Well, we've done some research on it. I'm not sure where the introduction comes in. It very likely could be airborne, and it's also spread through rainfall, which is terrible because as soon as we get some rain, it's just spreading it further into the canopy of our trees. But there's its sources is not really well known. We're trying to make that determination. By the way, the other types of trees like the Afghan pine and the Brutea, some of the others in our area, are also affected by this. We thought it was specific to the Aleppos, but it seems like the other tree species, the other pine species, are more resistant to it, but they're not immune to it. There have been cases of these other pines being affected as well, but it mainly seems to be in the pines, and really a strange phenomena, because if you drive past Roadrunner Park at 36th Street and Cactus, there's affected trees, and then it seems to skip a tree, then it gets to another tree. It's not just widespread over whole geographic areas. You'll see trees which indicates to me that maybe that trees have a little more energy reserves and can handle some of these stresses like a pathogen, are able to fight it off, but other trees that may be more susceptible and maybe weakened are the ones that are going to be getting hit hardest. So it behooves us to improve, of course, the cultural conditions around our trees, making sure they're well irrigated, that they have good growing conditions, and that we're trying to minimize all the stress factors that would lead to this, because it seems to be that when in the fall, when these symptoms started presenting themselves, it could have been, as many people are indicating, that it was months ago, possibly even in the summer, when the problem started.
And if you are an organic gardener, there's a lot here in Tucson. Tucson is very proud of the organic factor. Well, Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew can't help you against pathogens, but if you're trying to get rid of bugs and critters on your vegetable gardens or on your trees, you can spray Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. The all-organic compound from our friends at Bonide is family-made in America. Beetles, spider mites, boars, anytime you see something starting to attack your trees, you can just hit it with Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. It is so organic and safe, you can apply it the same day you're harvesting your fruits for that night's salad. You can find Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew all over the state. Right here in Tucson, you can find it at Mesquite Valley Growers. If you're in Flagstaff, Viola's, or in Phoenix,